Elder Amos has served the Church of Pentecost as Deputy Youth Director. Additionally, he has since 2006 to date also worked as a counselor at the Pentecost University College, Soweto, Ghana. Today is the second time he is serving as guest minister here in Agape House New Testament Church. He is a compassionate, passionate and respected voice on youth and relational matters, and has been involved in coaching, counseling, communicating and consulting for both church and non-church based group for nearly 3 decades. He is married to Evelyn, and their eternal union has been blessed with 2 lovely teens and preteen daughters, Mami Jesiwa and Erekua Efriye. Amos has 3 books to his credit: Becoming a Beauty for His Glory, Matters of the Heart, Doing Dating Decently. Church, help me welcome once again Elder Amos Kevin Annan, a Christian life coach and counselor.
Beloved in Christ, please, you may resume your seats. It's an honor to be back to Agape New Testament Church, and I pray that God Himself, who is doing a great job in the lives of His people, will continue to bless you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and give you His peace. Hallelujah. May I invite you to turn to someone and welcome them by the grace of God to the house of the Lord, where we show pleasant outlook. There are some individuals, when you meet them elsewhere, you are not too sure if they took bitter lemon. But that's not in Agape. Agape is a very friendly place to find yourself, and I'm glad. Rev, we're eternally grateful. Also for Adeline, thank you for your friendship. And I want to read something before we go into our main conversation, just to buttress the point of our conversation. This is from Jeremiah chapter 18, from verse 1 to 11. Jeremiah 18, 1 to 11. And it reads, and this is from the British New International Version of the Bible. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the porter's house, and there I will give you message. So I went down to the porter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the porter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this porter, declares the Lord? Like the clay in the hand of the porter, so are you in the hands, O Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warned, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Verse 11 to close. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and reform your ways and action. Hallelujah. Beloved in Christ, we have been mandated to speak to the theme, Address the Mess in Your Marriage. But as I admitted in the early service, I said, we are addressing the mess in our marriage. I identify and associate with the conversation we are having today. three questions that stand strong in my thoughts. And I want each husband or wife here, and those of you who are in relationship, this may also apply. First question. What did you do in the past that enabled your marriage to be wonderful and almost like heaven on earth? Things you did in the past, but you have stopped. You need to go back and relocate those. Secondly, what are you doing presently that are inimical to the relationship or to the marriage that you need to desist from? Same. And thirdly, what are you not doing at all that if started could enhance the relationship or solidify the base of the marriage and improve on its quality, which you are yet to start? These three questions give us a reason to know that there's work to be done. How many of you agree there's work to be done? I had gone to one of these international schools to address them on youth sexuality, which is one of the favorite subjects I love to discuss with young people. And after my presentation, a 16-year-old girl asked me, is marriage necessary today? Now, I want you, as an adult, to create a legitimacy for marriage. Can you answer a young person who poses this question to you, is marriage necessary today? The presence of a mess makes it difficult to make a case for marriage. Especially where it is that those who are married walk in a mantra and a slogan and a worldview that says, if you have a farm, you need a backyard garden. You need a backyard garden, and therefore, marriage should not be sufficiently strong to tie you down to an individual. And so they disperse their seedlings across and abroad. They drink water from fountains that are not necessarily theirs. We have a godly duty to preserve the next generation so that it will be said of the next generation no longer that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and children's teeth had been set on edge. Because whatever legacies we leave behind, the young people will follow suit and getting it worse. Each one of us has a godly duty in that regard. And I have observed that if spouses found alternatives to each other, the marriage is already dead on arrival. There are too many individuals who marry today, sit in church, look very pleasant, they look very angelic, very decent, and all that. And yet, when it comes to the issue of relationship and marriage, they are visiting mayhem on others. Some homes have been turned into torture chambers. Torture chambers. People can no longer live a life in reality. And so the individuals who are young now and they are sick of love, tired of love, fatigued with love, fractured with love, and they don't want to have anything to do with love. And it's basically because of the packaging of love we have given them, many of which is oftentimes self-seeking, self-perpetuating. But we pray that in our conversation this afternoon, the Lord will be gracious unto us. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 to 34, the Living Bible reports thus. I walked past the field of a certain lazy fellow and saw that it was overgrown with thorns and it was covered with weeds. And its walls were broken down, and then I looked, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the arms to rest means that poverty will break in upon you suddenly like a robber and violently like a bandit. This is a fellow who is passing by somebody's farm or field and notices something that was amiss. He notices that something has gone out of the norm and his expectations had been cut short. Because if you walk by a field which an individual is tendering, you are likely going to see that the fruits are not being jostled out by thorns or thistles or anything overgrowing it which is not desirable. My basic agric were told that a weed is anything you find in your farm which you don't need. So if I plant cassava and I find okra there, the okra is a weed. And each one of us need to look at our marriages and our relationships. Some relationships actually are a disaster waiting to happen. And especially for the younger people of our day, I see a lot of them rehearsing their future divorce. And they don't realize it. They don't realize it because, see, the choices they're making is just undermining everything that makes marriage work. And they're building those things on a facade, on something that it's like a vapor. People spending $125,000 for a wedding, 6 months they're looking for divorce. We discussed recently the marital vows on radio, and you'll be shocked. People who have been married for less than 3 years could not remember their marital vows. 3 years! One lady said, the pastor said, and I rehearsed it with him. So she didn't own the marital vows, and therefore everything she said was more ceremonial. And for those of you who are single in a congregation, anytime you hear wedding, think marriage. It's important that when you hear wedding, you prepare for marriage. Too many prepare for the wedding and not for the marriage. But wedding and marriage are not the same. Wedding is a ceremony, marriage is an institution. One requires foundations and pillars and thrusts to hold everything you carry. One is just something that passes with whim. Unfortunately, we are investing a lot more in the preparation towards wedding than it is we are doing for marriage. And for those of us who are also married, it's important to understand that once you are married, you have tied yourself to a commitment which is a covenant relationship. And God wants us to keep it as a covenant. This 16-year-old girl who asked me whether marriage was relevant or necessary today, I decided to accompany the head of the institution to her office and invited the girl to come and sit with me for a chat. And when we had the conversation, I discovered that she had found her father cheating upon the mother with her mother's best friend, who was also a married woman, who usually would stand in for the mother, supplies for the lack of the mother because she has to do some business trips. And this girl one time caught the father in bed with this woman. What had happened? She brought the proprietor's writing to the house to do for her, and she forgot the book to take it back after the weekend. And so when she got to school, the proprietor says, okay, my driver will take you back home. You have the house key. Go bring it. And the dad, who left much earlier, around 5 a.m., had come back home. And so this girl quickly goes to her room, picks the book, and decides to go upstairs to tell daddy, daddy, I just came quickly to pick something and I'm going back, only to find this woman in bed with the dad. What do you think will go on in the mind of this young girl as she leaves back to the classroom? Parents have done things that have been discouraging. I pray that somebody looks at your marriage and desire marriage. Because if anybody looks at marriage and does not desire marriage, if your marriage becomes a repellent to the next generation, you have done them a great disservice. It's worse than not leading them to Jesus. Because definitely Jesus, they will meet him somewhere. But your marriage must draw just as the nectar draws the bee, so that the next generation will desire marriage. Have you noticed that gradually normal is becoming boring? And when normal is boring, abnormal becomes attractive. You look around you. Marriage is supposed to be a normal trend to build society, to hold the community's health. And the second thing was this, that she caught her mother kissing her father's friend. Not just embracing, not a hug, kissing. In the same house, 2 weeks later. And so this young girl is beginning to ask herself, is marriage necessary today? Because all the four characters in the circus are all married individuals. And that's why it's important to register in our hearts that marriage is not a panacea to infidelity. It's not a panacea. The individual must decide that I've been nailed to the cross. And to the cross, I will stay. Otherwise, you want to be a free atom and move around. And so the context of our conversation with respect to the concept of mess, which means dirt. Dirt. When you have a spillage in the house, you spill and you mess the floor. I've been to a few washrooms and it's written there, endeavor not to mess the seat. And somebody said, anytime you go to a restroom and you find that the seats are up, it means a man was there. Is it true? It's not necessarily true. Sometimes the cleaner just left. Now, within our context of this conversation of a mess, what I see is that one of the things creating a mess is a spirit of ingratitude. Spouses who are not able to show gratitude for the person they are living with. They are no longer appreciative of who God gave them. And now they wish to have somebody else. The second thing I see is the element of insecurity. Too many individuals have been left with a heightened sense of anxiety. They are not too certain what else their spouse is doing. What he or she is doing on their blind side. One lady said, a beautiful woman never stays with one man, even if that's their husband. And she bought into this worldview as a young lady. And as a married woman, she was flirting with three other young people. It's becoming a common thread in our time. Because some individuals have bought into a certain feminist worldview that says what men can do, women can do, and even better. But you know what it should actually be? What women can do, only women can do and do it well. And what men can do, only men can do and do it well. God designed us to complement and not to compete. They raise this heightened competition. So you go everywhere, people are jostling each other out of position. And people bring that also into the marriage. Where in the marriage, the husband and wife are competing with each other. Outdoing each other. When it comes to the attention with the children, the man wants to look favorably disposed towards the children. The woman is also trying to get the children's attention. So what do? We undercut each other. You look good in the eyes of your children, and that other party looks so bad, forgetting that you are one flesh. And that means that whatever qualitatively you add to your spouse, it inures to you. If you hurt them, you hurt yourself. So be kind and generous towards your spouse and lessen the insecurity. And I tell people, whatever portrait you paint of your spouse to your relatives, that's how they are going to describe them. They won't describe them any better than how you portray them. And so there's a need for us to portray our spouses in a way that is pleasant and loving to God. The next one I've seen is impatience. Too many of us are too impatient towards each other. It reminds me of a young man who was praying to God and said, God, I need patience, but I need it right now. You need patience, and you need it right now. God is going to test your patience by withholding that which you request. The last thing a husband should do is to honk the horn at the wife who is late for church. It's the gravest sin I've seen. Honk no horn at your wife. If a man is doing it, then you must repent in this house. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, you can sit in a car with bated breath. But don't honk the horn at your wife. She doesn't deserve that. Hallelujah. I need some men to pledge no more honking at the horn to our wife. It's important. Let's treat our wives with honor. Can you imagine a man discussing his wife with an office colleague in such disparaging terms that your colleagues have the impudence to address your wife? No! Woman discussing her husband to another who is not an interventionist. He's not providing you support to overcome the difficulty, but rather is going to worsen the plight and gives you prescriptions that undermine the health of you and your spouse and gives you a reason to join the new company trend, outsourcing. There are individuals sitting in homes and outsourcing companionship, outsourcing friendship, outsourcing conversations. You talk with this fellow and you feel more connected to him or her than when you talk to your spouse. Pretty soon your spouse is going to be an UFO, unidentified floating object. It's going to be an alien in your home. No, God wants us to go back as husbands and wives. In Malachi, he says, your companion by covenant. Your office colleague is not a companion by covenant. It's only your spouse. And God wants us to show a greater sense of fidelity. Infidelity is rife everywhere I go. It's nauseating. It is becoming sickening. Can you imagine somebody leads the choir and she's flirting with somebody's husband right in the church? A young girl takes a picture of her genitalia and transmits same to a married man in the same church, only to be discovered by his wife, in the same congregation. A husband requests nude pictures from a young girl in the same church. What's happening to marriage? Infidelity is not pleasant. Infidelity has no benefits. And so Proverbs 6, verse 32 to 35, it reads, adultery is a brainless act. I know that in Agape House, there are people with brains. And I'm glad to be here because this is a church with brainy individuals. So this is not applicable to you. So we must not countenance this one amongst us. Because adultery is a brainless act. So if a married fellow is here and committing adultery, you are acting brainlessly. It's not a thrill. It's not a chill. You are not cruising. You are heading to crisis. And then it says it's soul destroying. It destroys your soul because pretty soon your brain, your emotions, and your will be compromised. Then it goes further and says it's self-destructive. It's like cutting your nose to spite your own face. Then he cautions you. He gives you an idea what to be the outcome. He says, expect a bloody nose, a black eye, and a reputation ruined for good. We don't want to encourage infidelity and make it a new industry. Because the world, the people of the world, they thrive on what is called SOB, sexually oriented businesses. And so their philosophy is that sex sells. Sex cannot sell to a Christian. Oh, are we together, church? I read the profile of a young lady who says she's a single lady, a gospel musician, but she's addicted to sex. Now, listen to it. She's a single lady, she's a gospel musician, and yet addicted to sex. How? How is that possible? And that is the mess in the world. And thank God the world, we are in it, but we are not of it. Oh, praise God, praise God. Our light is supposed to shine in the darkness, because we were many years ago taken out of the darkness and brought into his light so that we show forth his praise. I like what the little children say. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Your light must shine in the marriage. And the little children are watching. The other day I was walking in my estate where I live. And as I was moving, you know, sometimes you feel like somebody is behind you. I felt this sense of weight behind me. So I turned and there was this 8-year-old boy. He was just moving as I was also moving. So I asked him, okay, what are you doing? He said, I'm just following you. Isn't it scary to discover somebody's following after you? Somebody's watching. Even the mundane things you do, they pay attention to those. And the things you don't teach them, they want to learn it. God, help me to be a good example. The other thing that creates mess that I see is ill will. There are people who don't have goodwill intents. And they are so ill motivated that they want to hurt their own spouses. They are mean to them. On radio the other day, a young lady whose husband pulled two of her hair strands. She had gone to plait the hair. And the gentleman, in his fit of fury, lifted those two and pulled the flesh. His own wife. Why would you do this? There are men sitting in church and beating their wives. In the full glare of the children, you reduce your spouse to a decimal point to be raised by an eraser. And you come and sit in church and lift up holy hands. It cannot be holy. If you're a man here, you are either a blessing or a beast. And you must choose one. But I pray and admonish you that you be a blessing. Oh, amen. And if you're a woman here, you are either a crown or a cross. You are either a crown or a cross. The virtuous woman, the Bible says that she was a crown to her husband. As soon as the husband showed forth at the gate, he was noticed. That's the woman's husband. I pray that when they see you, they should see your wife. When they see you, they should see your husband. And what to be the credentials? Wicked fellow. That's how they're going to describe, because look at her. She has become emaciated. She's been reduced to pulp. She used to be flowery. She used to be beautiful. She used to be adorable. Now, because of this fellow who came into her life, she's been reduced. I pray that qualitatively you must add to each other, because you are better together than better alone. Oh, amen. It's important that we work at it. And because of the presence of a mess, many spouses are disappointed with each other. But you see, sometimes people create the impression that there's the mere fact that there's infidelity means the marriage must end. Are you sure? Are you sure? He gives you a certain allowance that for the sake of infidelity, you can opt to annul the relationship. But what if you can keep it? I listened to a prophet on the radio. I was just about to go on air, and then they interviewed him because they said the wife was rumored to be flirting with her music manager. And the prophet was using unprintable words on this radio, describing his wife in such disparaging manner that I could not do. And I can't, even standing here, I can't use those words. Because my mouth cannot speak them. And then, some weeks later, there was a minister of state who was said to have gone to an HIV/AIDS conference and came with twins. And they were interviewing his wife, who was not described as a strong, staunch Christian. Because in Ghana, yeah, a Christian is one who is tongue-talking, Bible-wielding, demon-chasing, church-attending, and poking their nose into the sky and greet you in the morning, le kabo shakariande. In the afternoon, libo satanderie. That's a spiritual Christian in Ghana. And so people have all these spiritual jargons, but they don't live anything like Christ. They don't live anything like Christ. And they interviewed this woman, and the woman said, you don't know the man you're talking about. He's my husband. I don't validate what he has done. What he has done is reprehensible, but he's a good man. I said, who? I just had to pause. And true to form, she's still with the husband. Too many people find solace in the fact that there was infidelity, but the fact of there being infidelity does not mean you just walk out. Because a covenant relationship, you took a relationship decision on an account of a covenant that says for better and for worse. No, sometimes we don't want to hear this because it doesn't feel good for us. Sometimes it doesn't appeal to your ego. Yes. But how can we say that the good deeds of a person are written in sand, but their evil deeds are written in stubble, engraved with gold? And so the evil deeds are staying whilst the good deeds are washed away. But the Bible says that many waters cannot quench love, neither can it be drowned under. I pray that our love for each other must be so resilient and robust that even the storms won't kill it. No, it shouldn't kill it. Because you see, we must be committed to each other. That is not to say people should go and commit infidelity. No. The fact of it being that there is difficulty does not mean you abandon it. Just imagine this. A guy with a Range Rover bought recently, latest edition of Range Rover. Maybe it's your dream vehicle, like it is for my wife. So you need to pray for me. I mean, that's a dream vehicle. I remember she used to have Mercedes as a dream vehicle until we went to Germany, to Berlin, and saw taxis as Mercedes. And she revised that one to a Range Rover now. I'm waiting to see Range Rover as Trotro. That would be the day I said, I'm gone. But look at this guy with this Range Rover. He drives to Tetekwashi Interchange. And all of a sudden, he notices that his engine is overheating. And since my engine is overheating, and he abandons the vehicle, I don't like it. What will you say to that man? Man, there's something going wrong, Ring. Something up here is not sinking. The guy is never going to abandon his Range Rover because it's overheating. He's going to open the bonnet, hold on for it to cool a bit, and check if he can restore it with water level. If it's a gasket which is burnt out, he gets a mechanic to help him, a towing vehicle, to tow it to a destination, and it is sorted out. The next moment, he's back in his Range Rover. Some of you, the husband you have, you said he was a Range Rover. The wife you have, you said she was a Range Rover. You remember what you told her? You are most gorgeous woman. You are the one I love. You are the one you give me tears and chills, and I'm going to die for you. I'm willing to die for you. What changed? Go and fix that gasket. Go and fix that gasket. Go and fix the gasket. The issue is that fix that gasket. And once you fix the gasket, you are going to come back on a plane where you're going to cruise with your arms around. And we say, we go here. La, 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 lo, lo. No, sometimes I drive on the motorway. You see some young guy and a lady, and they're laughing and giggling at each other. You see some elderly people just come by, and they look, And you can see there's something messing up in people's brain right there. And the shock is those who are seriously looking are the married ones, and those who are flirting are the ones who are smiling all the way. Unfortunately, they are smiling all the way to doomsday. May God give us the grace. Well, many of the times what happens is that we allow third parties to bring a mess into our life. Sometimes it's the enemy who is fighting us and brings these mess our way. On other occasions, it is you and I ourselves who are the cause of the mess. And rather than point to your husband, look at you. I used to cry about my dad giving me a lot of headaches because he would go to the bathroom, the washroom, and then he would go and smoke there. And I'd gone to school and I was taught about secondary smoking. And I came with these funny ideas to make sure you don't get hanger-on with smoke-induced problems. And so I tell my dad, Dad, whenever you smoke, you create problems for us. You have developed some antibodies we don't have. And he looks at me and says, you don't know what you're saying. Where are you coming from? And we used to have those banters and exchanges. And then I went to you for the mission listening to some of the messages by Dean Sherman. And Dean Sherman shared about a young man he met who thought his father was a problem. And then he was told to begin to review his response to his dad. And he will see there will be a change. And indeed, when I did that, there was a change. Now, one of the things I want to bring to your attention is this. Ron can only put it beautifully. He says, when you walk through hell, don't stop. When you catch hell, don't keep it. Some of us have turned our mess into idols. And we are sacrificing our spouses on the altar of our idol called a mess. I pray to God, if you are slaughtering your spouse on the altar of a mess, set them free. Jesus has paid that debt. Don't do the devil's dirty job. Don't take upon you God's divine duties. And that's what I've pledged for myself this year. I pray that you can join me. If you can lift up your right hand, let's all affirm same. I. Can you please mention your name? Amos Kevin Annan. Affirm that I will not do the devil's dirty duties. Neither will I take upon me God's divine duties. As I close. Oh, sorry, that's not part of the affirmation. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. But you walked away from your first love. Why? What's going on with you? Anyway, do you have any idea how far you are falling? A Lucifer fell. That's frightening. Turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste. For I'm well on my way to removing your light from the golden circle. In other words, he used lampstands. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God is warning us that he wants to do something with our lives, but it requires repentance. It requires a change of heart. One of my favorite songs as a scripture union student, change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. If Jesus was your husband, how would you treat him? Ghana is one nation where people, once they know your credentials, they treat you with protocol. One time my vehicle had broken down and I took a taxi. I was going to speak in a church. So I agreed with the taxi driver on the terms, the cost and everything. He agreed to it, knowing very well there was heavy traffic in that area. So usually what they do is they factor in the traffic. Whilst we got to the traffic area, he started soliloquizing to himself. And look at the traffic. Look at the traffic. And look at the money I have charged. He's not talking to me, he's talking to himself. But I better pay attention because it's going to be directed towards me pretty soon. And so I intervened and I said, so what should I do? He said, you have to add. I said, but you knew the traffic. He said, yes, but the traffic now is not exactly what I estimated. Then he said, well, some people sit in our vehicles. They can't even buy a vehicle tie and they determine how much they pay you. So when he said that in a local language, I felt very sad. So I said to him, okay, you don't worry. If this is what you want, I'll give it to you. So he alighted me at the church and then he went. 3 or so weeks later, I'd been invited to a church to speak. And you know, usually when you're invited to a church, you're a creature of protocol. So when I mounted the platform, I saw somebody sitting at the extreme corner. And just like Joseph, when you are elevated, you see better. You know, the people who took you through some ordeal sometimes don't even recognize the change. And so I noticed him. Whilst I was preaching, I tried to avoid looking that way so I don't give him guilt. Then right after the service, we were standing on the platform. Myself and the senior pastor were chatting. And then I saw somebody standing there talking to the chief usher. And then he was brought. Then he said, man of God, do you remember me? I said, I do perfectly remember you. I can see your picture because it's imprinted in my brain. You took me through a hell of a time, brother. They said, oh, I didn't know you were such a man of God. If I knew. I said, if you knew what? Some of us, if you knew that Jesus was in the life of the person you are marrying, you'd be a little more careful. That person, remember, is bearing the seal of the Holy Spirit. It's in the image of Christ and is designed after the likeness of God. On every spouse here is written, fragile, handle with care. May God give you the grace to fix any and every mess by His strength and His strength alone.